Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
And I trusted him. I trusted that even if he wouldn't heal my daughter, I knew that God had a greater purpose. Even if he doesn't change the circumstance like we would want him to, God is still good.
Everybody has a story, and everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning.
It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope.
And power.
It has many characters.
And so you and I are
a part of it.
We're not the hero.
This is Epic.
Hi, this is Meredith Foster. If you serve God and you make the right choices, then all will go well, right? That was what Sarah Yakely believed. She'd given her life to Christ when she was a little girl. Her life hadn't been perfect, but it had been pretty good. Nothing had happened that would challenge her belief that if you do good, then God will make sure only good things happen. And then one day, she walked into an ultrasound appointment and learned devastating news. This is chapter 30 of Epic, Sarah Yakely's story.
So this story started in 2009. I was married at the time to a man named Micah, and we were in the Army. He was in the Army. So by default, as an Army wife, I was too. So we were living in Texas at the time. We were stationed at Fort Hood, and he had just gotten back from his tour in Afghanistan. He had been gone for a year. Wow. And so this was the summer of 2009 that he returned. And we already had our daughter, Ella. She was 18 months when he got back, and we were excited to try for another child. And so he got back in June, and we started trying, and we were pregnant just a few months later. And so we were very excited, and pregnancy was going along. Everything seemed fine. I wasn't showing as much as I thought I would for my second child, but we went to our doctor's appointments, and we heard the heartbeat, and things seemed fine up until it was the 19-week appointment when we went in for the ultrasound. And so this would have been in the fall of 2009. And that's where the bad news came. The doctors told us that our child had spina bifida, that she had fluid in her brain. I believe there was fluid in her brain and fluid on her lungs as well. She had a hole in her heart. There were a myriad of other things that we later found out. I think those were the initial things. And so we were devastated because we walked out of that appointment just wanting to see our baby, just wanting to know if it was a girl or a boy.
Yeah.
And we instead found out basically that she had a death sentence.
Was that the prognosis they gave you at that point?
Yes. They did not anticipate that she would survive to term.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was huge. It was devastating. I remember driving home that day and just tears down her face, and just remember telling our family that our little girl was sick, and it was so, so hard. But still, I think it was just a few days later we decided to name her, and we named her Grace Abigail, and we just wanted her to have a special name because we knew that we would need God's grace to make it through that journey. So time marched on, and, you know, we shared what was going on with our family, with our friends, and we prayed, and, you know, we believe in a big God, and we believed that he could heal her, and that he could instantly heal her, and that she would be whole. And we continued to go to the doctor, and they put me on high risk pregnancy. So we had to go in, I think about every 2 weeks for ultrasounds, 2 to 3 weeks. And each time they found something else. They found out that she had a two-vessel umbilical cord instead of three. She was missing some digits on one of her hands. And they didn't know what was causing it. They couldn't determine. This had never happened before. We hadn't lost any children. And we didn't find out till after she was born the cause of it, which turned out to be a chromosomal abnormality. And it was a translocation of chromosomes. So there's this long medical explanation for it, but we didn't find out till later. So each time we went in, it was just more bad news. more bad news. She's probably not going to make it. She's probably not going to carry to term. But I tell you, that little girl was a fighter. She would kick and she would move. It was one of the hardest things I've ever been through. And there was this, you know, there's a battle within, because there's the part of you that knows God is able.
Yes.
And is praying desperately for God to heal. And then there's the part of you that knows that he might not. And so you're trying to reconcile those two parts, just the part that's filled with faith and then the part that wants to prepare for what might happen as well.
How did you walk that out on a day-to-day basis?
You know, it was just time in the Word and praying faith-filled prayers, but also practically not planning too far in advance. The book of Job was, oddly enough, was very comforting for me at the time. You know, when you go through a journey like that, there are people that are very helpful, and then there are people that aren't. And the book of Job I love because he had the three friends that came and talked to him, and some said some really encouraging, helpful things, and some didn't. And so you have to learn to sort through those things.
Yeah.
And just compare it to what God's Word says.
Yeah. What were the sorts of things that weren't helpful, if you feel comfortable sharing?
Sure.
But I'm just curious, like, what kind of experience was that?
You know, we had some people in our lives say, you just have to believe more. You just need to pray harder. Or that would say, oh, the doctors don't know what they're talking about. And let me tell you, when you are carrying a child that is terminal, those are not helpful things to say. Because I know that God is big enough. I know this. I believe, you know, our God is big enough to do any kind of miracle. And so that was difficult, because you had people that would stand in the gap with you, that would stand in the trenches with you while you're praying and you're believing for a miracle. And those were the people that we would cling to, the people that would pray faith-filled prayers, but also grieve with you and just be there with you. So about that 20-week, less than 20-week journey, it was one of the things I learned was God's love, just a deeper understanding of God's love. You know, I gave my life to Christ when I was a little girl, and I've grown up loving and serving the Lord, but I didn't encounter any really difficult times until then. I had a pretty, not perfect, but a pretty good life up until that point. And I had not lost anyone that I loved. I had not gone through any real struggles until then. And in my mind, I thought, hey, I'm serving the Lord. I'm making right choices. So
it's all going to go well.
Yes. Yes. And boy, did that mindset was totally destroyed.
Yeah. How was the laying down of that and letting that go, that process of, I assume that didn't happen overnight.
No, and it's still happening. You know, it's been 8 years, and there have been other difficult things in my life. And, you know, God's Word doesn't say that we won't go through struggles. In fact, he says that we will. That we will struggle.
We will have trouble.
Hardships and troubles. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And you know, Jesus says he's going to be with us, and he will send the Comforter. He will send the Holy Spirit to be with us. So,
do you remember specific times along that journey where you experienced that in any, like, particularly profound way to you at the time?
Mm-hmm. There were so many times where I was having a really hard day, a really discouraged, really sad, just grieving. And someone would call me or text me or send me a message on Facebook or email me, and they would say, God put you on my heart today, and I just want to encourage you in this way. Countless times. I remember one time in particular, I was listening to the radio, and I heard this, at the time, new song from Stephen Curtis Chapman on his CD, Beauty Will Rise, that he had just released. And as you probably know, he wrote it after the loss of his daughter. And it impacted me in a huge way. And I think just a few days after I heard that song, one of my girlfriends sent me the CD in the mail. And it was such a gift. It was a huge gift. And since then, I've actually sent that CD to several different people who have gone through their own grief struggle, because the whole thing is just filled with his journey through grief And it starts out with the sorrow and the sadness. And I love the way he arranged everything, because at the end, it ends in hope that there's new life, that there's going to be, you know, there's hope at the end of it all. And that was huge for me. Music was a huge part of my healing and my grief through this process. And I say grief because, you know, as I said, I was praying and believing for a miracle, but at the same time, I was grieving. And so music was a huge part of me just getting through each day.
So how long was it from the 19-week appointment when you found out? And then how long were you able to carry Grace?
So I carried her till 37 weeks.
Okay.
And they induced me then. And I delivered her on March 22nd of 2010. And she was born around 10 in the evening. And she wasn't breathing when she was born.
Mm.
She was 4 pounds, 4 ounces.
Wow.
And they immediately whisked her away and put her on an intubator. And she was in the NICU for 2 days. And so I didn't get to hold her till the second day.
Did you have expectation when you delivered that she would survive delivery? Or did you know going into that?
I don't think I knew what to expect. I didn't think that they would take her away. That was not part of the plan. But the hospital just kind of took over at that point.
Yeah, I bet that was hard on a mama's heart, though.
It was. So she was in the NICU for those 2 days. And so we would go and we would get to visit her and we would get to touch her. And we couldn't really hold her because she just, poor thing, had all kinds of tubes in her. And she had spina bifida and it was protruding from her backside. And so we had to be very careful not to cause her pain when we would touch her. But she was so precious. And she had a head full of hair, dark, dark hair. And there was this one instance when we went into the NICU and she actually grabbed onto my finger. And that was very significant, not getting to hold her. She grabbed with her little hand. The doctors determined that she would not be able to survive without life support from all the machines. At one point, they said that she would need 40-plus surgeries on her spine alone, and they said that she would most likely be a vegetable for all of her life. And they didn't anticipate that she'd be able to breathe on her own because her lungs were so underdeveloped, and there was the fluid around her lungs. So even those 2 days, you know, so many different specialists and doctors came in. And we just knew that it would take a miracle from the Lord. And we still trusted and we still believed. And I still believe God could have. So 2 days after she was born on March 24th in 2010, they took her off of life support. We got to hold her for 5 hours. And she died in my arms. And she went to be with the Lord.
Sarah Yakeley had always believed that if you love God and you make good choices, then everything would go well. Now she was faced with the deepest pain of her life and a challenge to trust God as she walked through it. Part two of Sarah's story is coming up on Epic. Welcome back to Epic. We're so grateful you're listening. You can catch every episode of Epic when you subscribe through iTunes or your favorite podcast player. If you can't stick around for the rest of the show today, you can always listen to the podcast on our website. You know, we believe everybody has a chapter in God's great big story, and we'd love to hear about yours at myfaithradio.com. And now, part two of Sarah Yakeley's story.
The doctors determined that she would not be able to survive without life support from all the machines, and they didn't anticipate that she'd be able to breathe on her own because her lungs were so underdeveloped and there was the fluid around her lungs. And we just knew that it would take a miracle from the Lord, and we still trusted and we still believed, and I still believe God could have. So 2 days after she was born on March 24th in 2010, they took her off of life support. We got to hold her for 5 hours, and she died in my arms. And she went to be with the Lord.
Can you tell me about those 5 hours when you got to hold her? And
yeah. You know, she was not awake. They had her on a lot of pain medications. And so she just was this tiny little ball. So we just held her. We got to go into this special room at the hospital and just spend that time with her. And it was just me and Micah, my then husband. And and nurses would come in and check on her, and we just held her and loved on her.
When she passed away, did you find, was there peace?
There was, knowing that she wasn't hurting anymore, knowing she wasn't suffering, knowing she was with the Lord. But I get to see her again, you know, and that's the hope. Yeah. That's the hope that I have, and she's up in heaven, and it's not the end. I think it was probably around maybe 23 weeks of pregnancy when we went in for another test that the doctors, and we were in Texas, at an Army hospital, the doctor said, now, if you want to terminate, it has to be basically now or never. Like, you're getting to the point where you can't terminate. I was volunteering at a pro-life pregnancy center at the time. And my stance is for life. That's what we believe. We believe every life has value. And so immediately I said, no, we are going to give Gracie a chance. And I think we even told the doctors that we believed that God could heal her and that we were going to let her have a chance to live. Yeah. And I have no regrets about that. No regrets. I have 2 days of memories with her that I never would have gotten had we chosen a different route. 5 hours of getting to hold her that I wouldn't have gotten. And I wanted to give God every chance to heal her. You know, it's been 8 years, and the thing I learned about grief is it does get better with time. But I still think about her, and I wonder what she would have been like as an 8-year-old running around. And
it's hard to go through something like that and not come out on the other side a different person. And I don't know if you look at yourself like pre this experience and post.
Sure.
What changed in you, or maybe what changed in your view of God?
I think, like I was saying earlier, I think the biggest thing is recognizing that when we follow Christ, that there are no guarantees that everything will turn out like we hope. And certainly my ideal outcome would have been for her to be healed and for her to live. But going through this journey and going through this process taught me to trust the Lord more and to know that, you know, the word says his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And there have been so many different opportunities where I've been able to share with other women who are going through similar things. You know, infant loss isn't something that people like to talk about. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's very sad. And even with miscarriage, people kind of shove it under the table.
Yeah.
They
mm-hmm.
don't want to talk about it. But that's a life. You know, for however long or short, that's still a precious life. And I think I've learned a lot to not be afraid of grief and to not be afraid of sorrow, and that it's not an unspiritual thing to have sorrow and grief. That doesn't mean I don't trust the Lord. Sometimes as believers, we like to think that having faith in Christ means always being happy about your circumstances in your life. And I don't think that's true. I think that the Lord walks with us through all of the emotions, through all of your grief journey and your struggles and your doubts and joys and sorrows, all of it. He's there with us through all of it. And I think that's a big thing that I learned, and that, you know, the word says that he causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And that is something big that I learned through this process as well. And that he loves us in the midst of it, and that he never forsakes us. You know, God, I never felt forsaken by God. I knew he was with me through the whole thing, and I trusted him. I trusted that even if he wouldn't heal my daughter, I knew that God had a greater purpose for it. There's this verse in Daniel where Daniel says that, I know God is able to rescue me. I know, or maybe it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One of them said, I know God is able to rescue us from these flames. They were in the fiery furnace. But then they said, but if not, he's still good. God is still good. Even if he doesn't change the circumstance like we would want him to, God is still good. You know, I think in the last decade, that's something that God has really taught me. It's that we all have broken places in our lives. We all do. None of us are immune. As much as we try to put on a brave face, as much as we try to present a perfect life, we all have our stuff. And I do think that it has given me greater empathy and greater compassion for others and grace. Very, very apropos word, but it has given me grace for other people.
having gone through this experience, what words of wisdom would you give regarding how we should respond when the people that we love are grieving?
I think that I would just say we're all going to encounter someone in our life that is going through a struggle, whether it's a loss or some sort of grief, some sort of struggle. I would encourage us as believers to just sit with them in it and don't try to fix everything. Don't try to give platitudes, but just love them and give them grace, give them love, give them the space they need to grieve and just sit there and hold their hand and cry with them. I think that's what I benefited from the most in my journey was when people would just grieve with me. And that's a spiritual thing too.
There's a Jason Gray song that describes it as, you know, just sit with me in the ashes here.
Yes.
You can really relate to that. And it's a good reminder because nobody likes to be around grief and the hard stuff. And we're tempted to distance ourselves from it. But there's something very, I don't know, maybe it's the best kind of spirituality when we're willing to just sit with somebody in the midst of something that's hard and not easily answered and doesn't have a God bow all tied up on it immediately.
Yeah. And I think, too, even when things don't turn out the way we hope, that doesn't mean that God messed up. God's plans are bigger than we can comprehend. And so trust that he will work everything out for your good and that he will work it out the way he planned.
I'm curious, and we were talking about just ending your daughter's suffering on earth, but then taking up for you the suffering of grief.
Mm-hmm.
How did it go for you in the weeks and months and years since? How did you handle dealing with the grief?
Sure. You know, I think the hardest grieving part was actually when I was still pregnant. That was the most difficult part for me. And then once she was born and died, I felt like I was able to start healing after that. And it's just been a day-by-day thing. And, you know, each year it does get easier, but grief is funny because it sneaks up on you when you're not expecting it. And it could be a totally insignificant day or event, and then just something reminds you. You know, something we've started doing the past few years I've done with my kids is that we have a birthday cake for her on her birthday. And we sing to her. We celebrate her life. So every year March is really significant for my family, because she's still my daughter and she's still my baby. We actually, after Gracie was born and passed away, we had another baby that was miscarried. So that baby is up in heaven with Gracie as well. And then my son Jack was born after that, and he's 100% healthy. And he's 6. And then my daughter Ella's 10.
So what did you learn about how to grieve?
I would just say, with grief, you just have to let yourself grieve and don't try to rush the process. Don't be ashamed of it. I think to fully heal and you have to go through all the stages. So when you feel like crying, cry. When you feel like celebrating, celebrate. Because I think that's how you heal. You know, again, when you're walking with someone, like I just have such a heart for, after going through this, I want to help others help people through their pain. My advice to someone helping a loved one through grief and through loss would be that when you feel like the Lord is leading you to speak or to send them a note or to drop by, obey, do it. Because there were so many moments where I was in a deep, dark place and God brought people. He brought them every time. And that was one of the most significant things. And it may seem small to you, just sending a text or just sending an email or a phone call or dropping by and bringing a meal or saying, hey, can I take your other kids and you know, let you have time alone? It may seem insignificant to you, but to me, when I was in my deepest, darkest grief, it was a huge gift. Mm-hmm. And it was just all the ways the Lord was telling me that he loved me. And all the ways that he was using the body of Christ to come around me and encourage me and support me. And so my advice and my suggestion is that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, hey, call this person, just do it. Because it can it can have a huge impact on him. You know, he's the God who sees. He sees all of our grief. And there were just so many times where I just knew that he saw me. He saw me in the midst of my pain and my sorrows. And he reached out, and through other people, he just showed me his great love.
Sarah had always believed that if you love God and you live right, then all will go well. But to hold on to that belief, you have to distance yourself from other people's pain. Now, having lived through this deep loss, Sarah says she has a passion to help others grieve. She knows that in this world we will have trouble, and God uses the people around us to help us get through. Walking through those hard things forges a whole new kind of faith and intimacy with God. Thanks so much to Sarah for sharing her story today. You know, we believe everybody has a chapter in God's great big story. Share yours at myfaithradio.com. So grateful to the team of folks who bring Epic to life every week. Thanks to Stefan Johnson for our show's theme song. Thanks to Jason Rakow and Ted Ross for help with production. I'm your host, Meredith Foster. Join us next week. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.